Some people have asked about our church directory. Now, we are also will be updating the directory. This one is pretty much up to date. A couple of changes will need to be made, but we've printed out maybe a dozen or so. There's probably a few left on the table. If you don't have the winter, spring 2019 church directory, please feel free to grab a copy, and if they all get consumed, we'll make a few more. But we'll be working on the new version heading into the fall. How many people, let me see if I find mine here, somewhere. Here it is, okay. How many people rely on daily reminders for life? I see Chris's hand coming through the wall. Sticky notes. So the point wasn't just to give you a pad of paper, but there's a point here. The GLF mini sticky pads are good for this. So some of you might have 100 of these around your house, and every time you have an appointment, you write one, and it's like, so you're always reminding where you go to church and also what's coming up. Sometimes appointment cards. Some of us use appointment cards to be reminded. But sometimes we find appointment cards in unexpected places. Like I go to reach for a napkin the other day, and I feel a little hard card there, and I said, oh, that's coming up. So it happens, right? So some of us just need reminders. For some of you, it's your calendar on your phone that tells you when and where you have to be. You lose your phone, you feel like you've been robbed. I lost my phone. It's a frightening feeling when you lose your phone because it seems like you do so much life on your phone, right? Some people still like the conventional paper calendar that tells them when and where they have to be. So our family still has a family calendar. And so now we're trying to sync up family calendar with phones and all that stuff so we're not double booking. My father-in-law, Bob, who we just spent a week with, he turned 80 this last week. He tells me, David, if I don't write it down, I will forget it. So there Bob goes into his message on his iPhone and tells me, so if you give him 8 things to go get at the store and he doesn't write them down, there will not be 8 things coming back, okay? So he's good. He knows his own weakness. Reminders are good. Reminders are good. Scripture is all about reminding us of things we must learn and never forget. It's been said that Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. I submit to you that these are more than basic instructions. These are blessed instructions for right now and for our glorious future. Newsflash, we win. We win. If you don't know that, it's because you don't know your Bible very well. And I think where we're heading today is hopefully going to remind you that we have blessed instructions in the Word of God that tell us about our most blessed Savior who died in our place and who is coming again as He promised. I'm going to be preaching a series starting on September 1st on this idea of what is the greatest hope. Do you realize there's so much energy in real hope? There's so much power in real hope. The Bible calls it the blessed hope, and it's when Jesus Christ will call up His church and take it with Him before that great and terrible tribulation day on planet Earth. This is a big hallelujah. In the meantime, I'm here to remind you of the spiritual battle that we are in, either until the Lord comes or until He calls each of us home. This is the 8th message. I think I counted last night. Back in June, I started. This is the 8th message on this topic. And hopefully now you know that we are in a spiritual war as a Christian. And you have a very real enemy, Satan, who fought you tooth and nail before you came to the cross. Praise the Lord for children who get raised in a Christian home and say, always knew this, get this, got it. I know Jesus is for me and not against me. But many people don't. They slip into, parents don't train up their kids. Either they don't know or they choose not to know. That's why I appreciate what Mark and Dennis were doing. They are endeavoring to show people the matchless love that people are so hungry for. They're looking for love in all the wrong places, says the song. Looking for love in too many faces. I remember that song. I grew up with that song. Probably 1978, I don't know, something like that. So hopefully you know that you're in a spiritual war as a Christian. You have a real enemy. Protective gear has been given to you. But if we don't put it on, we will suffer great loss. The scripture says he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Both Peter and Paul delivered regular scriptural sticky notes. They're reminders of our hope and our calling. And let me give you a few of them. Peter would say in his second epistle, "Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." 2 Peter 1:12, if you're a note taker. Paul would say to the Philippians, just think of the apostle who, as we've been looking at a number of the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, all written under Paul's house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier, but had a privilege. He says, actually, these chains have worked out for the advancement of the gospel. So don't underestimate a difficult circumstance. God may be using that in your life for something far greater than you see. Instead of just always wanting it to go away, most of us want the bad circumstances just to go away. But Paul says, from prison, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is a safe." In other words, this is going to protect you. Good to be reminded, not just about your daily appointments, but the fact that God has a set of equipment for every believer, from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, spiritually speaking, so that it would protect you from the onslaughts of the evil one that is not for us. Paul would also say to Timothy, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, beginning at verse 14, he says, remind them. So Paul is instructing in that letter a young pastor who, Paul says earlier in the letter, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. And so he wants Timothy to build on these things. And he says, therefore, I want you to remind them of these things. In other words, you tell the people who are listening to you these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Think about how conversations go so corrosive so quickly in this culture. You bring up one subject, it's like, oh my goodness, you think about how words can often just go into war zones. Families are just broken apart because somebody likes the Democrats and somebody likes the Republicans, and it is just war. Words are very powerful, and Satan loves to twist words. He loves to twist emotions. Put on the full armor of God, says the scripture. But Paul would tell Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, Timothy, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, Bible teachers should be able to present this word correctly, not manipulating it, not using it as a leverage. They're simply presenting the very facts of the Word of God through the power of the Spirit, so that anybody who hears the Word of God from this place knows, I can know Jesus personally. He's already taken care of my sin in full at that cross. I repent of it. I recognize I am a sinner. I need a Savior, and I believe he did that for me. And you start to move forward in the strength of that might, that if God is for you, who could be against you? This is how you begin to win the battle. So, that's just the intro. So I'm going to have up on the screen the words of this portion of Scripture that we looked at on August 4th, and I'm going to read it again. I think there's a lot here. Paul says, finally, my brethren, this is Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. These are very important instructions for the believer to know how to stand in the day that we're in. They've always been important words. These have never not been important for the church. So if you're a believer who is continually not feeling victory or not sensing victory, this is a great opportunity for you to recognize, what do I need to do differently in order to advance in this war? If you understand the components of this armor that we are to put on, it will save you from a wasted life. I really believe that. This isn't the health and wealth gospel that just says that now your job is to take on Satan. Four times in this passage, Paul says to stand. To stand. The Roman soldier had cleats on. Those cleats were designed to give him firm footing. The believer today is already in Christ Jesus. Paul says that Jesus literally moved our sin out of the way and took it with him on the cross. When the believer recognizes what's already been done for them, they need to know how to stand in that. Scripture says, don't give the devil. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul would say, don't give the devil a foothold. Guess what a foothold for the devil looks like? Anger. What comes out of people's mouths when they're angry? All types of unkind words. All types of raging emotions. Anger is one of the emotions that you can use to give Satan a foothold in your life. I can do the same thing. It is best, and I tell you this, it is best if you're going to send any form of electronic communication to anyone in anger, you sit on it for 12 hours. You may regret that. You may regret hitting that send button. That send button is dangerous in the hands of an angry person, because now that becomes a device. People will say things on social media that they wouldn't say to your face. And that's an important thing to remember. People will use electronic communication to say things that are not necessarily going to be something that's going to cause. I would just say this, if you feel like you need to say something positive, because you won't regret that. It's when you wind up letting something fly that can be a point of, now you're going to have to do some cleanup. See, you don't know the effect that Satan might already be trying to have on the other person. So now you got to, now how do you put out that fire, right? So Satan loves to throw darts. He loves to throw all types of stuff out there. We really have to be careful, especially in this day of electronic communication. Maybe some of you, it'd be good if you do lose your phone permanently. That was a joke. Okay. But anyway, you guys get it, right? I'm processing with you. So we have a graphic up on the screen. I put this up last week or 2 weeks ago. This is a kind of an image of the protection that God wants us to see. I mean, every part of the Roman soldier's armor was designed for a full protection. Right? At least from frontal assault. And believers need to protect the backs of believers also. That's why backbiting is a very destructive thing. We want to really steer clear. I would say if you feel that somebody is either gossiping or causing some problem or they're upset, take that information and bring it back to the source. Just say, you know what, do you mind if we kind of get the facts straight on this one? Because I think you're running too far with this thought, and this has an ability to become a problem. See, Satan loves to, especially within the Christian community, he loves to shatter. He loves to see a church fall apart. Oh, people who loved each other, cared about each other, celebrated the grace of God, knew that God was for them, and all of a sudden Satan gets a foothold in there, and that place falls apart. The record's there. A lot of churches have been devastated because there's been backfighting in the church. It's not a good witness. Franklin Graham was on Fox News yesterday night. I didn't watch this video. I just saw a portion of it. So there's now so-called pastors that are saying that they don't believe the gospel anymore. And now, you know, but these pastors affected a lot of people. My concern is today that pastors, Christians, do not know how to fight Satan. And because of that, little things get in there that cause a snowball effect, and it doesn't take much. You know, and the whole thing today, the real push on the church is to be tolerant sexually. Redefine all the rules. Just redefine them. Doesn't matter how people are born, how they're created, doesn't matter. If you want to redefine it, and if you stand for that in this day, watch out. We'll try to fire that pastor. We'll try to get him out of town. We'll try to tell him that he's wrong. You can't speak that way. I got to go with the scripture. I know how I got here, right? I know how my kids got here. God is amazing. I look at the human body and I say, only God. Look at what God can do. And the amazing thing is God promised to every person who trusts him, receives Christ as their Savior, they are going to get a brand new spanking body. You are getting a brand new body as a believer. God promised it. The same body that raised, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You're going to get a brand new supernatural body. This is awesome. To forfeit that opportunity to not spend eternity with God forever because of what he's done for us. God is like, he loves Christmas. God is the gift giver. You think you love Christmas? God loves to give, and he loves to forgive, and he wants us. How precious is the word of God that he would say that this type of thinking, this type of understanding, this type of way of seeing your life now as a Christian who came into this world with the problem of sin, God removes that in Jesus. You trust that he did that for you. Your sin is now fully on him. And now God says, I want you to live a protected life. Put on the full armor of God because it's going to get rocky out there. You think there's a roller coaster at Six Flags down in New Jersey. Now, we didn't do this on this trip, and I didn't do it on the last trip. Just saying, okay? It's called King Dakar, which is like, okay, they're sending you up about 400 feet vertically. 400 feet. So you start on this chute. You get 70 miles an hour down before you even hit the first. Like, literally, it's just a straight-up line. So it's like an L, a 90, and they just give you a little bump over. Sometimes it's not strong enough to give you the bump over, and guess what? You're going all the way down backwards, 400 and whatever feet it is, all the way back down. Has anybody done that roller coaster? I'm proud of you. No. So, I know some people in here love those crazy roller coasters, but life for the Christian, I believe at times, can feel a lot like a roller coaster. There's highs and there's lows, there's twists and there's turns, there's things that can change suddenly. And yet, God, Paul told Timothy, keep your head in all circumstances. How do you do that? Unless you put on the full armor of God. This is exactly what, this is why this is here. This is the full way that the believer stays fully locked in to God until he's with Jesus. Amen? All right, so the helmet of salvation. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of these points. I'm going to go into... So Paul says in beginning at verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is another... The Greek word is like methodia. It's like the methods. It's Satan's schemes. It's the ways that he plots, the ways that he positions. And it's funny how we are... Our battle is supernatural. We are physical beings, but there is a spiritual realm that does exist, that is eternal, and that God is providing us the resources that we need to wage war against where Satan is presently doing battle, and that's right here on planet Earth. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Newsflash, they're talking about the rise and increase of paranormal activity, even in the lives of Christians. Weird stuff going on. People get dishes flying off shelves and stuff like this. And I know a few people in this church who've had some of these weird things happen. One strong caution, if that's happening in anyone's home, is to simply display a cross, and you recognize that you're home and you are already under the blood of Jesus Christ. And you stand your ground there. Satan cannot harm you, right? Scripture says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, can we be maybe a little aggravated by that stuff and maybe a little bit freaked out? I think we can be, but we're not to be. We're not to give. We're not to go delve into that. Horoscopes, you name it. Anything that puts your mind away from Jesus, I would stay clear of that. Because there's no power in that that can save you. There's no wisdom in that that will tell you something that God hasn't already revealed in His Word. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. God is in the business of making all things new. In the meantime, until that time comes, there's a lot that that's working against us. But the good news is, Christian, to know your true standing, and this is what's so important for us, is that we know how we stand already in Jesus. See, when Satan wants to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future, right? Someone said it that way. Stop beating yourself up about your past. You can't change it. It is so much wasted energy to focus on the past. It's such a platform for where Satan wants to beat us up. Look what you did. Look what you said, right? Can you not ask God to remind you of what He already did for you? That's the key thing. Instead of keep confessing, so many people wanted to spend time confessing everything that comes to their mind. That was all, oh my goodness, I did that like 20 years ago. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Do you recognize the power of the cross of Jesus Christ punished all sin? All sin. All sin was paid for in full at that cross. So for a person who chooses not to move forward in their life, they're in one sense believing, they're not really trusting fully that cross took care of it. You want to take away the guilt of your shame and condemnation? Look to what Jesus. Remember what the song said this morning? At the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. This guy would not have this much energy if I didn't believe that, okay? Because I believe that, there's energy. Because there's clear focus. I can think clearly because I know what's already happened in my place. Hallelujah. This is huge. So we want to learn to stand against. Again, this is not taking on Satan. I'm going to take you on, Satan. Don't even go there. You just stand your ground. I am a blood-bought child of God by Jesus. Jesus paid for my sin in full, and I can simply stand in this righteousness. I can stand authoritatively in the righteousness that He gave me as a full deposit. We're just waiting for us to be revealed. Do you realize how righteous the believer already is in Christ? God's not holding your sin against you. That is so amazingly sweet. No matter even the things that you still do that you like, oh, like that battle, and you say, I can't believe I still think that way, because what the problem is you're carrying around an old nature that God says, it's already nailed to the cross. Would you just simply rest in the fact that it's nailed to the cross? But can you still feed that ugly thing? Oh, yeah. And that's why Ephesians 6 is so vitally important, because there's so many things that go on in our minds and in our hearts that can still harass us. And Satan loves to take the things that we struggle with and rub them in our face. Paul would say in Philippians, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. David Jeremiah has a brand new book out, relatively new. It's called The Book of Signs. You know, I was in I used to go to Pennsylvania. Now we go to Delaware. I'm on this wonderful property that my wife's parents now own with her, my wife's sister, Shawnee, and husband, Rick, and little Finn. And I really felt a clear sense of what I'm to preach on next. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wrap up this Ephesians 6 study, but Lord, where are we going next? And I said, I really sense very strongly that what people lack in this day is hope. There's a lot of stuff right now that's pulling at us. And I'm going to speak to one of those things in just a couple minutes. But I want to read you a quote from Dr. David Jeremiah. This is a fabulous resource, 31 undeniable prophecies about the apocalypse, about things that Scripture says are coming. And he gives in a very, very descriptive chapter on spiritual warfare. Let me read you one of those portions. The Bible clearly warns us to be aware of the devil, his power, and his intentions. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's our reality. And we need to remember that reality because it reminds us that other people aren't our true enemies. This is what's going on in this world today. There's a big battle on race. Okay? You see the things that distract people? Now you're walking around like, am I a racist? No, God made you white, okay? Don't apologize for your skin color. Whatever it is, God made you. And we're not to recognize anyone according to the flesh anymore, says the scripture. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creation. I don't care what color your skin is, you are my brother or my sister. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am to love you and to extend that grace to you and celebrate what God has done in you. This is awesome. A church should be multi-skin colored because that's not the important factor. We're not focusing on that stuff. He says here, and we need to remember that reality because it reminds us that other people aren't our true enemies. We often blame those who lie, deceive, divide, and destroy for everything wrong in this world. Yet, and that's, I believe that's happening in the political arena right now. Yes, the people who do those things must be held accountable, and God will do that in his time. But our true enemy is Satan, who uses in one of the commentaries, and I'm going to quote from this guy in a couple minutes too, his name is John Phillips. Phillips wrote, "People who persecute us, lie to us, cheat, hurt us, and even Satan may use to kill us, but our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world. We battle not against flesh and blood." So the problem in this world today is our enemy is Satan. And Satan is trying to manifest a huge war, especially against the Christian, because we've been purchased already out of this world. In one sense, we are just waiting. Jesus is going to keep every promise he's made to you. He is not going back. What he says he's going to do in you, he's doing right now. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Amen. You go with it. You go with it. So number one, we're talking about how you and I are to stand against. Standing against simply means holding the ground that God has given you. You're recognizing you're in a battle, but you're not looking just to go after it. You're looking to stand. And we want to stand armed. Paul says here, "Therefore, taking up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist," Chris, can we look at the graphic again on the spiritual armor? "Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." James says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." You're going to need help to do that. It is a difficult day for us to be truthful. People just like to not hurt and offend. So they say things, "I don't want to offend that person." So now we've got these like little white lies, things going on, and we just can't be ourselves. And you know what? If somebody gives you an invitation, you can't come over, can't come over. Just be honest. You don't have to create a whole stream of things. What we want to do is just simply say, "We get it. We understand. I want people free. I want people to have freedom to, when they come into this place, to know what, you know, this is the real deal. You don't have to lie to me. You don't have to tell me anything. You don't have to impress me. I don't care that you impress me. I just want to do life together with you as people who've been purchased by the Lord Jesus and be able to advance in areas that he wants us to go in. This is so important. This is so important that our integrity, the breastplate of righteousness, living with this confidence, you know what? I am who I am. I know who I belong to. I am simply the person that God wants me to be. And I pray that God uses my life to bless you. I pray that he does. But I was a people pleaser for so many years, afraid to offend and all this stuff, and I got rid of that stuff. God help me. He's helping me. He's helping me not to be a people pleaser. Some of you need to get off the people pleasing wagon. You're afraid to tell people what you really feel or what you might be struggling with. And God wants you free. and righteousness. I'm telling you, people would be on a lot less drugs in this culture if they did this. I am telling you, there is safety here. When Paul says it's a safe for you, he's saying, I'm here to protect you. You don't need more Prozac. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying it. And I'm not faulting people who have to be on medication for whatever. Some of us have to be on medication for different things. I'm not anti-medication. If you need medication, take it. But if one more pill is the only way that you're dealing with your emotional pain, maybe this is something that all of us could encourage you in. I want to see you succeed. I want my own life to succeed. We are no longer a willing target for Satan's schemes, but we want to be diligent to utilize God-backed, God-supplied weapons to tear down strongholds by standing firm in the grace of God, dressed as a soldier ready for Satan's assaults. You want to see what sin does and what Satan is capable of? Just look at the life of Jeffrey Epstein. We were dealing with a situation recently about sexual addiction or the potential of sexual addiction in a young man's life. All as I have to look at is Jeffrey Epstein. Somewhere in Jeffrey Epstein's life, he developed a sexual addiction that got out of control. You want to see the power of what sin does? Look at the life of Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know how the guy died. Did he get killed? Was he suicide? Who knows? There's so much weirdness around that thing. See, this is what you got to remember. This is how good Jesus Christ is. You know that Jesus paid for Jeff Epstein's sin too? If Jeff Epstein at any point before he breathed his last breath said, Jesus, save me, guess what? Jesus made good on that promise. Because that's how good Jesus is. You look at the lives that have been ruined by Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, come to my gold dome place in the Caribbean. You know, glitz and glamour and all this stuff that attracts people. Politics and power and all these things that become alluring to the world. This is the world system that we're fighting against. If you just have enough money, if you just do this, if you can go here, if you can go on this vacation, all this, people are dying. And they're going to spend an eternity in hell because they ignored what Jesus Christ did for them. And I say that's why I'm so thankful that over the next 16 weeks, starting on September 1st, we as a church are going to be thinking how to be more effective with how we share Christ with people. This is a crazy day. One website that I look at called Olive Tree Views showed, just since 2009, over 30 mass shootings in this country. We live in a day. Mark, right in your own daughter's neighborhood, daughter-in-law and son, just in Dayton, Ohio, just a couple weeks ago. You know what? You and I have to have the confidence that if someone takes us down with a bullet, where are we going to be? We're going instantly into the presence of the Lord. I do believe God has my days numbered. I really do. Until I'm done living, and that whatever that time looks like, I'm just trusting that the Lord's going to use me for whatever he wants. But every believer should be ready to go in an instant. And we should be ready to go. We should be also thinking that, hey, you know what? The rapture could happen today too. Paul would tell the believers to remind themselves of these things. It doesn't matter that the rapture hasn't happened yet. We just know it's going to happen. That's how awesome this is. God wants us to be so empowered by hope, by what he's done for us, by real hope, to be able to put on the shield of faith, to have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Do you know that you can tear down lies that come into you, that accuse you, with the word of God? You know how many times I go back to the scripture in my mind, my own son Aaron, I'm so thankful that God has used him to deposit like a ton of, like, his brain can file away words, and it's amazing. He just files them away. And Aaron can watch a video and memorize the whole thing. Like, he didn't get this from me and his mother. Got it from God. Whatever his disability is, God has used this, his brain, to memorize. I believe it's photographic. Aaron can remember images, and then he can recite them. And some of that has been, God has used with God's word to encourage people. People have come up to you and say, Aaron, like, said the exact verse I needed to hear today. I'm like, well, praise God, because I didn't tell him to tell you that, all right? God tells Aaron puts it on his heart. And it's almost like Aaron saying, Dad, just get away. I got this covered. There are times it's been, I felt like he knows what he wants to tell people. You came to Christ by faith. Everything that I proclaim from this pulpit, I'm banking on what God's word has said. This idea of the shield of faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All that you have to know is that one by the name of Jesus took your place. And when you trust him and the Holy Spirit seals you, you have everything you need. To know that, you received it by faith, you didn't earn it, you weren't good enough to earn it. God likes to give sinners gifts who understand what he's done for them. The shield of faith is this idea of realizing that I continue to serve God on the basis of trusting him. I don't have to try to fix everything. I don't have to be a worry wart. I just simply need to take the shield of faith and stand against, so that when Satan throws a fiery dart at me, it's being shielded. Because darts have a way of, if the ones that Satan can send to us can really mess us up at times. There's a lot of counseling today. Pastors spend a lot of time counseling people over their past. And I'm not saying we don't have to process our past at some capacity. Sometimes it's just saying, you know what? I didn't live the life I should have lived. But God knew that. Guess what? God knew who he took on. He knew who he took on when he took you on. He knows about it. And he says, there's nothing that you have done that I won't forgive, that Jesus didn't already pay for you in full. Paul says in verse 17 here, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation is for your assurance. You do not need to put doctrinal systems in your head that one day God loves you and the next day he does not. He loves me. He's like, it's like you're pulling off the leaves of a petal. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves you. Proven at the cross, accepting that payment for you is a guarantee of your eternity. So the helmet of salvation is renewing your mind in the fact that I belong to him. This life is so uncertain. It is so uncertain. I look at the mass shootings and people being out having a good time, and all of a sudden they don't come home and they're laying there dead. I pray every person, whoever gets shot, and I can't be assured 100% on this, I pray that they knew Christ. That be my prayer, that they knew Jesus, that they accepted Jesus and they're with the Lord right now. A loved one gets taken in a car accident, whatever the case, a fire, you name it, whatever happens in Christ, they are safe. They are safe, they are safe, they are safe forever. That is so good. We want to celebrate these truths. The helmet of salvation is just having that assurance. If your marriage isn't perfect, it's okay. Keep focusing on Christ who loves you and died for you. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is a continual dependency upon God for everything. We're praying this morning on the way to church, praying for the service, praying for me, praying for Amanda, just praying for what God wants. We pray. Scripture says we don't always know what we are ought to, how we're to pray, but we should pray. Do you pray? Do you talk to the Lord? Do you tell him, Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this, but you know what's best here. I am trusting you to work this out for your glory. And give me the strength that I need. Right? Give me what I need. Meet my needs. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We pray for one another. We trust that God is working through a local body of believers. Lorinda, I see you. You can watch the video after service, okay? We already watched it. We'll watch it again, all right? You need to see it, all right? Because I thank God for what he's doing in the lives of the people here. Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17 says, and I believe this is where the Apostle Paul, he was steeped in Judaism. He was steeped in the traditions of Israel. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. For instance, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, "Therefore his own arm," speaking about God, "brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head." God is the master warrior, and he will defeat every form of evil that's in this world. In the meantime, right now, the way that God is defeating evil in the lives of people is through the cross. That is the way that sin gets broken in my life and yours. And then we have a chance as we put on this full armor. Every day we think about this. I'm putting on this helmet of salvation. I know that I'm a believer. I'm putting on the breastplate of truth. This is what God's truth is. It protects me. I'm using the sword of the Spirit. The Bible calls it the Word of God. I don't just pick up my Bible once a month. I pick it up daily. I try to read it. I try to read a scripture. My feet are protected by the gospel of peace. In other words, when I'm telling other people about Jesus, I'm thinking about what's really important. Because I realize that another mass shooting could happen nearby. Now, we can't save everybody, right? But we can save some. God knows that. He wants to use this church to do so. God wants you to have that breastplate of righteousness on, to know that you have integrity that God has already given to you. And he wants you to also stand against with a shield of faith, so that everything that comes at us, that we're able to distinguish those fiery missiles that Satan wants to send. I'm going to close with this quote, and then we're going to sing Victory in Jesus. H.A. Wilmington points out, and if you may have this, it's called Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. He says, and he's quoting another commentator named John Phillips, and David Jeremiah mentioned the same thing, a great commentary on the book of Ephesians written by John Phillips. Wilmington actually uses an excerpt from that commentator. He says, "Just as Israel's blessings were found in Canaan, so ours are found in the heavenlies. Just as the Israelites had to battle many enemies in Canaan in order to possess all that God had promised to them, so we have to battle Satan and his army in order to enter all that is ours in the heavenly places. Just as Israel's inheritance in Canaan were fiercely contested by the foe, so you and I have to fiercely contest him as our foe, so our inheritance is in the heavenlies. It is also strongly contested." In other words, Satan doesn't want you enjoying what God has given to you in Christ. That is the truth. And so without the armor, you're not going to succeed. Amen. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Welcome to planet Earth. In Jesus Christ, you succeed. Amen? Let's stand together. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus. I'm going to ask you this morning, anybody here this morning who's never truly known that they are a saved person, this is your day. I can't urge you enough with that encouragement. I love to have people here who are ready to pray with you. I know Mark would be glad to lead you to a sort of simple prayer of knowing Christ as your Savior. If you don't know the Lord this morning as your own, I'm here. I'll be around. If you want to pray together, I'd love to pray with you. I don't care what the struggle is. I'll pray with you. Let's ask God to help you fight this good fight. You're going to put on that whole armor this week, and you're going to let that armor continue to protect you until you see Jesus face to face.